I know. He's gone now.
You said you'd bring Sultan back.
I'm sorry. He was...
He's dead, isn't he?
No. He's on his way to the settlement.
Settlement?
Yes, there's a compound there. They'll take good care of him.
But why? Why did they take him away from me?
For his own safety.
But he's safe here.
As a matter of fact, you'd be safer there, too.
Mm-mm.
Let me take you there.
No, I'm staying here.
Why? What do you have here? You told me you had no one.
No one but Sultan.
Where are your parents?
Dead. Killed in a riverboat accident a long time ago.
You've been alone ever since?
And what's wrong with being alone? I don't need anyone.
You need Sultan?
I suppose I can manage without him if I had to.
Well, you know best. Good luck.
Tarzan? Tarzan?
Tarzan walks off, pauses, turns and decides not to reply. The girl walks, stumbling on. Tarzan follows at a distance as Nara tries to find her way to her home. Suddenly, they come upon the ruins of an ancient cave.
Tarzan? You're here, aren't you? Thank you.
As Nara explains to Tarzan that this is her home, he suddenly puts his hand over her mouth for silence and then moves toward the sound of an old phonograph record playing a waltz. Tarzan advances. In the ruin, he sees Jason Flood looking through an old trunk and Jai winding an old phonograph.
You gentlemen have a search warrant?
Tarzan, will you take a look at this?
This is private property, you know.
This old seaman's trunk is Reverend C. Smith's. He's the missionary who disappeared after that riverboat explosion about, 10 years ago. He and his wife and daughter. Tarzan, will you listen to me?
I hear you.
Jai pulls an old faded photo out of the trunk.
Look, Tarzan, here's his daughter.
She couldn't have been more than 9 years old.
Do you think she's still 9 years old?
Why?
Because she sure is pretty.
She's even more beautiful now, Jai. I'll let you see for yourself. Miss Smith. I'd like you to meet some friends of mine. This is Mr. Jason Flood. And this is Jai.
How do you do?
You're right, Tarzan. She is prettier.
Thank you.
Miss Smith, you must forgive this intrusion. I really couldn't believe there was anyone living here.
Is your name Nora?
It was. When my parents died, a man named Akila took me to his tribal village. He and his wife raised me. They called me Nara.
Where are they now?
Dead. Killed in a tribal war. It was Akila who brought me a day-old lion cub. His eyes were still closed.
Sultan?
Mm-hmm. Akila knew I was going blind from the accident on the river. He helped me train Sultan. To obey my commands, to protect me, and to act as my guide. The day I lost my sight, Sultan became my eyes. I need him, and I'm going for him now.
I'll bring him here myself.
No, I don't need any favors. You think I'm some kind of helpless... Tarzan?
He's gone.
It isn't fair, Mr. Flood. He has no right to do these things.
Tarzan's helping you, Nara.
But that's the trouble. You all want to help me.
Help of a different kind is being offered to Sultan. A ringer at the moment is standing by the caged lion Sultan in the compound. The tranquilizer has worn off. A ringer unlocks the cage.
I will help you, Red One, if you want your freedom. But it won't be for long.
Tell Rao
You tried too hard.
With the cage open, Sultan rushes out. Oringa fires and misses.
Oringa!
What happened?
It was Tarzan, Rao. He let the Red One escape.
Tarzan?
He forced me to open the cage. Threatened to kill me if I refused.
Oringa, you were lying.
No, Rao. No, I swear.
Tall boy, let's get that lion.
Oringa, mad with hate, stirs up the members of his village.
Listen to me. All of you. Rao's a good man. But he refuses to think bad thoughts of his friend, Tarzan. But you. You saw Tarzan today at the lion pit. The Red One was our prisoner until Tarzan released him. Now he's turned that killer loose again. You know what the Red One did to my father and to me. Any one of you may be his next victim. He must be hunted down and killed before he kills again. And we can't let Tarzan or anyone else stand in our way.
Meanwhile, Tarzan leads Sultan through the jungle back to Nara, his blind mistress. As they enter Nara's cave house, Jai climbs atop a table in fright. Cheetah runs.
Okay, Sultan. Sorry, Jai.
Oh, boy. Sultan! Sultan! Oh, I'm so glad you're home.
That man sure did scare me, Tarzan.
He's been scaring too many people lately.
Tarzan, I can't thank you enough for this.
Tarzan hands Nara her ancient antelope horn.
Oh, you'll need this. I want you to take Sultan and keep him in the cave. As a matter of fact, I think you better all stay there until I get back. Come on, Cheetah. Come on. Before any more mistakes are made.
Oringa and the men from the settlement are searching the jungle for the Red One. They see him. The real man-killer.
The Red One. There he is.
The torches! Burn him out!
Fire. The jungle is set on fire. The jungle is burning. Fire is everywhere. At Nara's cave, Jason Flood asks,
Nara, I wish you'd come back to the settlement with us.
No. I'm happy here.
But you'll have fun there. Lots of people, things to do.
I'm perfectly happy here. I've got Sultan and... Someone is out there.
Flood leaves the cave and meets Rao and Tallboy on the path.
Rao!
Well, Jason, you're a long way from home.
Well, so are you. What brings you here?
Looking for Tarzan.
Oh, well, he's out hunting the Red One over there somewhere.
A lot of people may be hunting for him, too.
What's wrong? Trouble. Is Jai with you?
Yeah.
Tall boy, take Mr. Flood and Jai home. I'll try and pick up Tarzan's trail.
Well, hold on. Tarzan expects us to remain here.
You'd be safer at home, Jason.
Keeps over here, Mr. Flood.
Jason Flood and Jai leave for the settlement with Tall Boy, while Rao continues the search for Tarzan. Nara has remained in the cave with Sultan.
Tarzan's in trouble, Sultan.
Nara and Sultan leave the house to search for Tarzan. Sultan leads blind Nara through the burning jungle. He sees a snake.
What is it, Sultan?
Sultan leads her safely away from the snake. As they reach an open glade, there is the Red One.
Go on, Sultan. Hurry. We can't stay here.
Sultan fights the Red One to protect Nara. Rao comes upon the scene. Sultan is down by the river. Tarzan leaps between the lions. He draws his knife and fights the Red One, while Sultan lies badly mauled and helpless on the ground.
The Red One is dead.
Bad day for lions.
Tarzan?
It's all over now.
Where's Sultan? Where is he?
He tried to help you.
He's dead?
No, but he is badly hurt.
Oh, Sultan. Is he going to be all right?
It'll take time, but he's going to make it.
Oh. Are you sure?
I'm sure. I'll take care of him for you. Someday when you come back, he'll be waiting. Rao is here, and he'll take you back to settlement.
I have no choice, do I? I can't hide from the world anymore.
Do you really want to, Nara?
I just realized. Going after you with Sultan, it's the first time I really did anything for anyone.
Thank you.
I'm beginning to see things. Things I never knew existed before. Thank you, Tarzan.
Good luck, Nara.
Ready, Nara? some time ago, you answered some questions about your family's financial situation and needs. This was the beginning of the preparation of a financial security plan designed just for you and you alone. Modern electronic data computers, able to perform calculations in a fraction of a second that would otherwise take a skilled mathematician months, analyzed the information you gave and worked out the best plan with a speed, accuracy, and precision that would have been impossible a few years ago. That plan is now ready for you. But before we look at it, suppose we look at the problems it is meant to solve. The problems of a family perhaps much like yours.
This is the Alden family doing their Saturday shopping. Don, Betty, Linda, and Hal. As young families go, they're pretty typical, so much so that we'd like to spend a minute or two looking into their life. Of course, first we'd better ask Don for permission. Don, excuse us, but we'd like to ask you a favor.
Why, sure. What's on your mind?
Well, Don, we'd like to look into your family's life a little, both as it is and as it might be, for the benefit of millions of others who are something like you. Do you mind?
Well, no, if it will help someone else. We're on our way home right now. Why not come along? This is our house. It's our biggest investment, although we still owe plenty on it. But I suppose most young families are like that. Our home and our car are our biggest assets. Anyhow, you're welcome to come in.
Thank you, Don. And from now on, we'll be invisible. You won't even know we're around. Yes, the Aldens are a typical young family. And perhaps most typical in that they think their biggest financial asset is this pleasant home and their car. But it isn't. This is the Alden family's greatest asset, Don Alden. Or rather, Don Alden's earning power. It's his earning power that puts the food on the table. His earning power is what keeps the roof over his family's head. Don's earning power is really the foundation of his family's entire welfare. From one point of view, his occupation or profession is unimportant. It could be anything. But so long as he possesses the power to earn, his wife and children's security is assured, not only for this day, but for the future. We can see what a tremendous financial asset Don's earning power is when we consider what all his paychecks add up to during his working life. If he works 35 years, for instance, at an average of $10,000 a year, then his total earning power is $350,000. No wonder we say a man's earning power is by far his biggest financial asset. Now, what does Don do to protect this asset? He protects his other assets, his material ones. For instance, his home. Fire can destroy Don's home. But like all homeowners, Don has made previous arrangements for its rebuilding in such a case. But how about his earning power? What would happen if the foundations of his family's financial well-being were suddenly destroyed? Suppose we find out.
Daddy, before you go to work, can I ask you something?
Linda, you can ask me anything.
Will you bring me a present when you come home?
Maybe, if you're very good.
See you tonight, honey.
Let's go out tonight. Can you get a sitter?
I'll try.
Bye-bye, son.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Daddy.
Bye, Daddy.
Mrs. Donald Alden?
Yes?
I'm sorry. I have bad news for you. I have bad news for you. I have bad news for you. I have bad news for you.
That's the way it happens sometimes. And when the numbness wears off a little, the family begins to realize the meaning of earning power that is gone.
I never realized. bills for everything, and they all want to be paid. I never realized that there could be so many expenses. And the everyday bills are things we must have. I never really realized how much it costs to live. And the payments, the house, the car, and all the rest. I never really realized how many payments we have to make. What will I do? Maybe our lawyer can help.
But the lawyer said,
Mrs. Alden, when it comes to settling an estate, large or small, the creditor's claims come ahead of even the widow and children.
The first thing many a young widow thinks of is borrowing money to tide her over. Parents, family, or friends are one resource, but there is a limit to what they can spare. Banks and loan companies are another resource, but they want some assurance a loan will be repaid.
We want to help you, Mrs. Alden, but without suitable collateral, there's nothing we can do.
The next attempt is often to try getting money by trading the car for a cheaper one.
Frankly, Mrs. Alden, a down trade will net you very little, and you might wind up with more problems than you have now.
Somewhere along the line, there's the government's aid to widows.
Yes, as a widow with children, Mrs. Alden, you're entitled to government benefits. But keep in mind that if you go to work, your earnings may partly disqualify you.
Nevertheless, many a young widow has to take a job anyway. But by the time she's deducted for care of the children, the loss of benefits, transportation and clothing, the take-home dollars are very, very few. One frequent result is the loss of the home, either a forced sale to get at least some money to get by on, or even a foreclosure.
But, Mommy, do we have to move?
Inevitably, there is the search for a cheaper place to live.
Mommy, I don't want to live here either.
But it's all we can afford now. Unless...
And that unless may mean begging the charity of relatives. Even though the home of the relatives may already be crowded with a family. The death of a father is tragic enough. Is it necessary for additional tragedies to follow as a result? Well, suppose Don and Betty Alden were able to see what you are seeing now. Then they might also have heard something like this.
You see, nobody ever expects or plans for such things to happen. But if plans aren't made to prevent them, they do happen when death occurs. All that was lacking here was a plan to provide money to replace the missing income. With money, the bills that flooded in on the widow would have been no problem. The plan could have provided money to pay off the mortgage so that the young widow would be sure of a proper home for herself and the children. The plan could have provided a small monthly income for the family until the children were grown. Added to other income, it could have helped free the mother from the need to work so that she could care for her children herself until they were old enough to get along without her. The plan could have included a fund for the children's education, so vital in today's technological world.
It sounds wonderful, but doesn't a plan that will do all that cost an awful lot of money?
Less than you think. At your age, such a plan would cost less than the interest on the money if you tried to borrow it from a bank. Only with my company's plan, you don't have to pay it back. Not only that, if you live, and most people do, as the years pass, your plan will set aside for you a steadily growing fund guaranteed by law and contract to be there when you'll want it most. You might want this money sometime to take advantage of an unexpected business opportunity. Or you might need it to meet a sudden medical expense or some other emergency. Whatever the need, your fund is steadily accumulating, while the protection for your family is always there.
So it's a savings plan as well as a protection plan.
That's it exactly. And because it is a savings plan, you realize its full benefits when you and your husband reach retirement age. By then, your savings fund will amount to many thousands of dollars, which you can use any way you wish. For example, you might want to invest your money in a retirement community, or buy a trailer to see the country in comfort. Or you might want to splurge on one great fling such as a whole year spent on a round-the-world cruise. Or you might want to turn this money into a tidy additional monthly income, so that you could live more comfortably, perhaps travel more freely, and visit the children and grandchildren once in a while. So you see what you've done? You've provided protection for your family during their dependent years. And yet, when you reach retirement age, since you didn't use the money for protection, you get back all or most of the money you put in the plan.
Well, let's see if I get this straight. In case something happens to me, the plan provides money for my family. If everything goes okay, a fund for opportunities or emergencies starts to accumulate. And when we reach retirement age, we have a sizable retirement fund to add to our other assets.
So, that's how one family found their plan. No two families have exactly the same problems or the same needs. But every family has needs which a sound plan can help solve.
The miracle of electronic data processing has now made such a plan available to you. This plan is tailored precisely for you and you alone, electronically engineered to meet your specific needs. We express our deepest love by securing the future welfare of our very own. Our confidence and peace of mind come from knowing we have done it. But to make that love come alive, to enjoy that confidence and peace of mind, we need to act today. Tomorrow may be too late. So today, this moment, when you are probably in good health and able to qualify, is the time to start a plan for you.
Tracy, it's as if they're not listening to Cal. He's telling them the thing's intelligent, and they go right on insisting the only way to deal with it is to blow it up or something.
What else can we do?
I think we should try to communicate with it. I know it's far-fetched, but it might work, and we don't have that many options.
Come on, that's crazy, Barbara.
Listen, the point is, if we go on attacking it, it's going to go on attacking us. It's called cognitive retribution, and the only way to stop it is to break the cycle. Maybe it's already got what it wants. Maybe all we have to do is to walk out of here.
But look what happened to Dr. Hauser. No, it's too risky.
But I'm sure we could break the cycle if we tried to communicate with it. Intelligent beings can communicate. You don't need language. Look at any foreigner away from home or a mother and her baby.
It's not the same.
But if it is as intelligent as Cal says, there's at least a chance it might work. If there is a chance, then we have to try.
We'll have to tell the others.
No, you saw how they reacted. We'll have to do this ourselves.
Yes, sir.
CKUT and Island Organics presents a Christmas fundraiser for Resilience Montreal. Featuring DJs Cristobal Urbina, DJ Killjoy, Talentino, and the premiere of Mandala Hi-Fi. With Boss Man, legendary dub poet Zibs, Cali, with special guest Spoon B, and DJ Picante. Mandala Hi-Fi. $20 at the door. $25 after 11. Sunday, December 18th. Timmy's Bar, 900 Ontario Street East. This is an official CKUT co-presentation.
You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.